Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the morning services. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
So, Nehemiah chapter 2. Artaxerxes sends Nehemiah to Jerusalem. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, "Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart." I was very much afraid, but I said to the king, "May the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" The king said to me, "What do you want?" Then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king, "If it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city in Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it." Then the king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked me, "How long will your journey take and when will you get back?" It pleased the king to send me, so I set a time. I also said to him, "If it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah? And may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel by the temple and for the city wall and for the residence I will occupy? And because the gracious hand of my God was on me, the king granted my requests." So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official heard about this, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. So Nehemiah inspects Jerusalem's walls. "I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few others. I had not told anyone what my God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There were no mounts with me except the one I was riding on. By night, I went out through the valley gate towards the jackal well and the dung gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. Then I moved on toward the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through. So I went up the valley by night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as yet I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or nobles or officials or any others who would be doing the work. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in? Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. They replied, let's start rebuilding. So they began this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is this you are doing? They asked. Are you rebelling against the king? I answered them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or in any claim or historic right to it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jean. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. Let's pray before we look at those verses. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful word. We know it teaches us truth, and it teaches us truth to our hearts by your Spirit. So please speak to us today. Amen. I wonder whether the Lord has ever put something on your heart or given you a task to do, and you knew it was a good thing to do, but you were terrified. Let me tell you about a time when I was at the end of my studies. I was about 21 years old, and I got an invite to speak at a university mission. Now, a mission, if you don't know what one of these is, at a university is where they get a speaker in to talk about Jesus, and you invite lots of students along to come to this, including many who probably haven't heard about Jesus before, and often it has a great impact. People come to faith, and it can change their whole lives. There's usually a main speaker, and then there are some side events as well, and I was invited to speak at one of these side events. I had a friend. He was very courageous, and he had invited his whole rowing team to an event. And then he said, right, you're going to come up and you're going to speak to them. And I was quite into rowing. And the idea was, you know, I would talk to them, but you know, we'd get a common interest going. And then I'd talk to them about Jesus. And the plan was, I was going to come up. We were going to go on the Prince Bishop, which if you've been to Durham University, you'll know it's a nice river cruise. We were going to go on this river cruise. At some point, the boat was going to turn around. Then I was going to speak to everyone. There was no getting off. You know, we were in the middle of the river. I had to listen. And then hopefully afterwards, you know, people would be interested and, you know, perhaps some people would come to faith or at least would want to know more. Well, I was absolutely terrified. I was so terrified. I thought, I am not going, none of these people are going to want to listen to me. I wasn't even convinced by what I was going to say, to be honest. It was about 5 hours journey north of where I was living. So I drove up in my rickety Renault 5. Any other Renault 5 drivers around here? It's a great car, but very, very slow. And for those 5 hours, like this, I just thought, Lord, I do not want to do this. And I arrived, and I thought, okay, here we go. Take courage. And I saw a friend. I thought, this is going to be great. He's going to give me a pep talk. He said, John, the thing you've got to remember is, it doesn't matter about your jokes. It doesn't even matter about how compelling your argument. As long as you are convinced, they will be convinced. Well, I wasn't convinced at all. It was awful. And I remember walking around that day saying, Lord, please, can I just get back in my car and go home? Please do something. I can't do it myself. Well, today, we are coming to that kind of moment in Nehemiah's life. And it is this moment where he realizes he's got a huge job to do, but he throws himself at it. And it's a great story to be reading as we come to First Communion. Because actually for these girls, they're taking a big step out in faith. But actually it's a great story for any of us to think about at any time. Because for all of us, there is an opportunity, excuse me, to take a step of faith at any time in our lives. Could someone just get this? I'm sorry. it's going to be a much easier talk to read through if I just take a moment. I'm going to spare you. Hang on. Talk amongst yourselves. Brilliant. You got yourself warmed up. Now, you're going to need to talk about this later on, but bear with me. So, to understand, though, we've got to go back to the Promised Land. Back to Jerusalem. Nehemiah isn't there. Some of the Israelites, they've been exiled, they've been chased out of the land, they've gone back, they've rebuilt the temple, they're worshipping there. But unfortunately, the walls are in a mess. Nehemiah has heard about this, and as a result of this, the people aren't safe. And he, although he's a long way away in Persia, working for the Persian king Artaxerxes, God has put it on his heart, I've got to go and rebuild these walls. And there are three lessons that I'd like to share with you from this. Now, I'm going to need some builders, okay? And you guys are beautifully dressed for building. So can I just have two of you? Okay, I'd like you to now exhibit this great Christian virtue of, you know, others first. Why don't you two on the end? That's easiest for you. That's brilliant. You'll each get a chance, and the last one, three of you can lift. Okay, now, since we're talking about building walls, could you girls please take the first sort of bricks there? It's the top box, right? Okay, this is the first part of the wall of faith. Right, but you both got to hold on to it. Your sister, she's come all the way up here. Very good. Well done. You grab onto it. That's it. Brill, put it out here. Fantastic. Well done. Okay. First step of the, yeah, they got to see that. Well done. That's it. Superb. Right, down it goes. Great building. Great building. Fantastic. Well done. Down you get. Very good. Well done. Well done. Round of applause. The first part, the first step of the life of faith, if you can't see it, is take a step of faith. Take a step of faith. So the passage says, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought to him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before. And the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? Take a step of faith. What do you notice about Nehemiah's first step of faith? Firstly, you notice that it's considered, because I know what you're thinking. You're thinking the month of Nisan. The month of Nisan? But hang on, in chapter 1, we had the month of Kislev, did we not? And as you're thinking carefully about your Jewish calendar, you, of course, remember that that means it's been 4 months that Nehemiah has been praying. Isn't that what you're thinking? 4 months he's been thinking about this move. He's prayed, he's fasted, but now he takes a considered step of faith. What else do we learn about a step of faith? Second thing we learn is that it's big and scary. A step of faith is big and scary. Okay, you imagine you worked in Artaxerxes' household. You worked for the king of Persia. You'd been given your staff handbook. What did it say in the staff handbook about turning up to work sad? Yeah? It probably said something like this. If you feel sad, wipe the sadness off your face before you come into work. Because King Artaxerxes has 10,000 problems, and your sadness is not one of them. Yeah? But Nehemiah knew what he was doing. He came in with a sad face. Because even though he thought he might get fired, he thought the king might equally stop and ask him what's wrong. And then he might get an opportunity to do what he thought the Lord was asking him to do. And that's why it says, I was very much afraid. He was afraid, but he presses on in faith, takes a step of faith. He says, may the king live forever. Tiny bit of flattery. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Very bold. And it works. The king says to me, oh, what is it you want? Result. And then, in fact, if you were following carefully, it's kind of amazing how bold Nehemiah is. He could have just stopped there and said, oh, well, you know, Jerusalem's in a bit of trouble. Do you mind if I go? He takes courage. He says, okay, well, Jerusalem's troubled. Do you mind if I go? And also, while we're at it, would you mind writing me a letter for sort of security to make sure I'm okay? And actually, if that's a yes, how about you get me another letter that says that the keeper of the royal parks is going to give me as much timber as I need for the building of the wall and my palace. He actually says that. Where I want, my residence. Bold, bold. But he knows the Lord's with him, so he takes a step of faith. It's big and scary. And finally, a step of faith is prayerful. A step of faith is prayerful. There is a great moment in Nehemiah. If you teach your kids about faith, Nehemiah is one of the great places to go to teach them about the arrow prayer. Do you know about arrow prayers? You're in the middle of doing something. It's tough. Quick arrow prayer up to the Lord, and then you carry on. This is what happens. The king asked the question, what is it you want? And it says in Nehemiah, then, in the middle of the king's court, probably holding his drink like this, I prayed to the God of heaven, and I answered the king. If it pleases the king, and your servant has found favor, send me off to Jerusalem. I prayed to the God of heaven, and then I asked the king. Prayer and action all together. That's the life of faith. Right in the middle of your day-to-day, prayer to the Lord, and then take courage and speak. Okay, so here's what I'd like you to do. This is the first step of faith. You've got some thinking to do. You could perhaps talk to the people next to you here about this. If that's not how you roll in church, that's fine. You can think about it in your head. Okay, next slide, if we may. I want you to think, what is the next step of faith the Lord is asking you to take? Okay, is there something in your life which you know God wants to happen? He's put it on your heart. That's, you feel a sort of burden to do it. And it's going to take lots of courage. Okay? 30 seconds. Talk the prescription for you. And you can think about it on your own if you like. But talk to someone else because it's much more encouraging. Okay, go. Off you go. Your next step of faith is to move. All right. Now, I'm going to do that infuriating thing. You've just started a conversation. You're just getting going. The great thing is, we've got to bring in share lunch after this. You've got loads of time to continue that conversation. We'd love to see you there later on. Let's pause there. We've got our next brick. Right, off you go, over here. What is the next thing that we learn about the life of faith? We better get the right one, hadn't we? Yes, this one. Right, okay. What is the next thing we learn from the life of Nehemiah? Well done, our great bricklayers. Okay, that's it. Well done. Turn around. Oh, brilliant, brilliant, fantastic. Well done, down you go. Well done, our bricklayers. Thank you so much. Now, by the way, these have been brilliantly done by our crew in the Renew Lounge on Fridays. A big shout out to them, and particularly their emojis, which are super. Next thing in the life of faith, expect opposition. Expect opposition. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite officials heard about this, they were very much disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. And all the way through the book of Nehemiah, we're going to hear about these guys, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. They don't sound like the nicest people in the world, and they certainly aren't. And they're always getting in the way of Nehemiah, trying to put him off course. Now, I think it's worth recognizing that Nehemiah is confident. The Lord's put it on his heart. He's confident he's going in the right direction. He knows that the Lord is giving him success. But just because God is in it doesn't mean there won't be resistance. There is no great act of God that is not unopposed. So when Jesus sent out his disciples, he said, do you remember, I am sending you out as sheep among fields of green? Anyone know how that sentence finishes? Wolves. That's right. He said, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. Paul the Apostle says, all who desire to lead a godly life will be persecuted. We are to expect opposition in the life of faith. Now, sometimes as Christians, we get opposition because we've been an idiot. And that's not a result of the life of faith. We've been silly, and that's just part of being in this world and being silly. But sometimes we get opposition because we're following the Lord. And actually, my experience is often it's the time when we're really doing something for the Lord that it really gets tough. Do you have that thing in your family? You're trying to get out to church on Sunday morning, and it's just unbelievably hard, and everyone forgets their shoes, and you have some ridiculous argument about who knows what, and why are we even having that discussion? Or, you know, there's that really important moment for one of your kids to, I don't know, go to something that's going to have a significant impact on their Christian lives, and then they, I don't know, they break their arm so they can't go or whatever. Or perhaps it's a relationship that's under a lot of pressure, and then something goes wrong in the day so that, you know, the mood is even higher and it's even tenser. We expect that the devil loves to mess up the lives of Christians. That's his job. And so we expect opposition. But you know, sometimes there's a flip side to that which can be encouraging. Sometimes the opposition reminds us that we're actually doing what God wants us to do. So here's my second question for you. Next slide, if we may. What is standing in the way? Remember the thing that you just thought about? That step of faith? What is standing in the way? 30 seconds. Go. Okay, all right. Last one. Thank you so much, girls. Thank you. The last brick in the life of faith. Trust God. Trust God. So we've taken a step of faith. We expect opposition, and it will come. But Nehemiah teaches us to trust God for the results. When Sanballat, the Horonite, Tobiah, the Ammonite official, and Geshem, the Arab, heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. They said, what is this you're doing? Do you ever, this ever happen in your life? You're doing something for the Lord, and this voice over here comes, or even another person, what are you doing? It's going to be pointless. Don't even start. Are you rebelling against the king, the officials, the local, the authorities? People are not going to like it. And then Nehemiah says, the God of heaven will give us success. The God of heaven will give us success. He doesn't say, hey guys, what you really need to understand is that I've got a great education. I'm really going to sort it out. No, the God of heaven will give us success. He knew from the beginning if God was in it, it would be successful. You and I are not going to bring about the kingdom of heaven on this earth. Our job is to be obedient and faithful, but the Lord will make it happen. And the life of faith is all about trusting him to do the work. Good. Well, there are three things to remember. We got one last question for you, okay? So this is a prayer, okay? But the thing about this prayer, and I'll tell you what it says on there if your eyes are just needing to stretch a little bit, it's a very simple prayer. It says, "Dear God, dot, 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 in Jesus' name. Amen." Okay? And there's a space in the middle with a little arrow that says, "What would you put in here?" Nehemiah trusts God, and so he prays. You've thought about a step of faith in your life. What goes in the middle between "Dear God" and "In Jesus' name, amen"? What is your next prayer? We're going to think about this in silence, okay? 15 seconds. I want you to just think, what is going on in my prayer for my step of faith? And in a moment, I'll lead us in prayer. So let's just take a moment of quiet. Dear God, we bring you all the things that you have put on our hearts this morning. For some of us, they are ambitions and thoughts that you've been working in our hearts for a long time. For others, we're just about reaching out to hear from you what you want us to do next. Lord, we pray, first of all, that you would give us courage to step out in faith in obedience to you. Second, Lord, when opposition comes, when it gets difficult, Lord, we pray that you would save us from being discouraged. And third, Heavenly Father, we pray that we would trust you for the results. We know we cannot bring your kingdom on earth, but you can. We want to be faithful and obedient and trust you with everything that we do. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. Well, that is the life of faith. And as the musicians come up, I think it's great to remember, isn't it, that actually this is the story of the cross. It's what we're going to remember. Jesus stepping towards the cross and his death. Huge courage. Great opposition. But he trusted God. And so he went to the cross for us. And that achieved the greatest victory that we will ever need. Our forgiveness as his children.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.